Welcome back to Between the Bar Lines. I'm your host, Dr. Maeve Barry. We are going to continue our chat on 19th century opera today with another innovator of opera named Giuseppe Verdi. Or, as we refer to him sometimes in the opera world, Mean Joe Green. If you know that reference, awesome. Throughout Verdi's lifetime, he wrote 28 operas, all of which continued the innovations that we have seen since the beginning of the century with bel canto singing. Today we will see what these traits and innovations were, as well as touch on many of the operas that he wrote. Giuseppe Verdi was born in 1813 in Parma, Italy, and unlike composers that we've spoken about thus far in our studies like Mozart, Haydn, and Mendelssohn, just to name a few, Verdi didn't grow up in luxury or under aristocratic patronage. In fact, when he applied to school, he was at first rejected, but he did not quit. His first opera was Oberto, and this premiered in 1839, and it only really earned moderate success. However, soon after this premiered, tragedy struck his life, where his wife and his two young children died within a short span. Verdi sank into depression and even swore off composing forever. But the turning point came when Bartolomeo Morelli, the manager of Milan's La Scala, gave him a new libretto, and this was the story of Nabucco. In 1842, Verdi's Nabucco premiered at La Scala. It tells the story of the Israelites in Babylonian captivity. But at that time, to Italian audiences who were under Austrian rule, it meant something very, very different. The chorus from this opera, Va pensiero, meaning fly on golden wings, became a national anthem for the Italian people who were yearning for the unity and freedom that they didn't have at that point. So from that moment, Verdi became more of a political symbol. This symbol of this movement, the Risorgimento, the political movement for the Italian unification in this era. In addition to Nabucco, the 1940s were very rich in composition for Verdi. He wrote one opera after another, and some of these were two a year. I'm only going to name a few right now, but works in this decade were Arnani from 1844, Macbeth from 1847, and Louisa Miller from 1849. By the 1850s, Verdi had honed his craft. It was no longer just a political thunder, but it was these intimate, devastating stories about people torn apart by love, jealousy, and power. So, definitely what we expect from opera during this romantic period. Now, I want to take a minute to talk about some traits in Verdi's operas that were different from operas that came before his time. So, where earlier Italian composers, like our bel canto composers of Donizetti or Bellini, to name a few, favored the vocal beauty above all, Verdi wanted expression above all else. He even broke away from the normal formula of recitative and aria. Instead, he created a continuous dramatic flow where the music was evolving with the story. We kind of had this also happening in our Wagner episode, which was the most recent episode. But instead of there being no cadences or really, really super long phrases in Wagner, Verdi's melodies were simple, but still had this expressive quality about them. They were often built on short, memorable phrases that reflected the natural speech rhythms rather than in our classical period with some symmetrical musical forms of phrase structure. To continue on with some of his operas, Rigoletto in 1851 is perhaps his most well-known opera. In this opera, Verdi is really breaking operatic convention. Before Rigoletto, most operas were based on historical or mythological subjects, like kings, heroes, and noble lovers. And we saw that Wagner was someone who also broke this trend. These stories tended to have clear moral divisions and elegant poetic settings. If you don't know the story of Rigoletto, it's about a hunchbacked jester who attempted to protect his daughter, which ultimately leads to tragedy. So it's very dark and cynical, yet profoundly human. To continue on about the operas that he wrote in the 1850s, we have Il Trovatore from 1853 and La Traviata from 1853 as well. So in these operas, Verdi is forcing audiences to confront modern morality, hypocrisy, and compassion. And these three aforementioned operas from the 50s form Verdi's mid-career and really remain the pillars of operatic repertoire today. After the 1850s, Verdi turned his eye to even a grander scale than we already know. We have two operas, Don Carlos from 1867 and his famous Aida from 1871, where he was at his most monumental compositional point. Now, at this point, he could have basically taken a rest, called it quits, but instead, by the 1870s, when he was in his 70s, he produced two of his greatest achievements. First came Otello in 1887. This was after nearly two decades of retirement. He decided to return to Shakespeare, and he created this opera where the music is, again, flowing seamlessly, driven by emotion and not by that aria structure. Then, in his late 80s, Verdi composed Falstaff in 1893, which was his only mature comedy. We are doing it at Pittsburgh Opera in the spring, so I'm excited to work on that. There's a humongous fugue at the end, which, if you remember back to maybe the Baroque period and then also the resurgence of the fugue in Beethoven and then again in Brahms, which we will talk about very soon. This was huge to have a fugue in a Romantic era work, especially in an opera, if you think about it. We're talking like every character is out on stage and the whole chorus is out on stage for this big finale. That's just a giant fugue. Pretty brilliant. So Giuseppe Verdi died in 1901, and this was a really sad time for Italians. They lost a huge figure in their life and in the life of Italy. Over 200,000 people lined the streets of Milan for his funeral. So I just thought that that stat was unbelievable. I mean, yes, he did shape Italian opera into what we know it as today. He and, you know, Puccini and the Bel Canto composers as well. 28 operas, I mean, that's a lot of operas. And for, you know, pretty much all of them to be these masterworks that we still perform today, I just think that that is huge. So, kudos to Mean Joe Green, Giuseppe Verdi on all of that. Speaking of an Italian composer who remarkably is still very relevant today in performance, our next episode is going to be on Giacomo Puccini. And we're going to see a lot of similarities between Verdi and Puccini in the way that they write their music. Beautiful, short, yet simple and memorable musical lines, and easy to digest stories where we have this Verismo style or this, you know, public, general, average person exemplified on the stage. Before I get into that way too much, because this episode has gone on for so long, can you tell I love vocal repertoire? I'm gonna stop it here and ask that you join me next time on Between the Bar Lines.